For years, paramedics have been saying, give us a bit more control in where people go. PCs have proposed new legislation now giving paramedics a little bit more leeway when it comes to where patients end up. And that could potentially take the pressure off already packed emergency rooms. So it could be a good news story. They also want more authority for treating people on scene and decision making based on 911 calls.
Some people want to be insistent on going to the emergency department when the emergency department may not be the best destination for example, minor injuries. What we're hoping is that paramedics can have more latitude.
That's Daryl Wilton, the president of the Ontario Paramedic Association. He says they want redirects for people with diabetes or when people get strokes so they can go straight to a CT scan. Another thing, more advice could come from 911 calls to avoid the ER altogether. Paramedics could be able to get more mental health patients into proper facilities rather than going straight to an emergency room. The legislation is right now in the consultation phase, but it sounds like this one might have legs. It's all part of the ending hallway medicine that you've heard the Ford government talk about when it comes to talking about healthcare and hospitals. So this could be something. I mean, with the Ontario Paramedic Association already on board, it looks like it's at least it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story for a number of reasons, because I think most people, if you haven't had an interaction with a paramedic, you don't know how the system works at all. And I've got to be honest, when I heard this story first reported, I thought, oh, you mean if you've got diabetes or a stroke or something that can be treated on the scene or something that can be treated in another facility, that's not the default? And it turns out it's not the default in a lot of these cases.
Pack them up, take them to an emergency room, and that's unfortunately the problem. So then you have that, plus you have people who are taking themselves to the emergency room, and then you get people on top of people, you get those extra long waits. I mean, how many times have you heard, I had to go to the emergency room, I fell off my ladder or whatever, I was there for 6 hours. And yeah, that's a long time to sit and wait. But, I mean, could this be the answer? Maybe yes.
That's the key right there. Just think about any emergency room experience you've ever had. Have you ever gone home and said, wow, that went so smooth?
Yeah.
I hit triage, I hit the waiting area, I had my x-ray, I was home in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
Because
and more often than not, you're sitting in an emergency room, as has been almost every experience I've ever had, with two paramedics and someone on a stretcher. And they sit there for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, it's true. And they get coffee and they sit there.
And they wait.
Yeah, because you can't release the patient until they're admitted into the hospital.
And that's
so then they sit in that
triage
area.
The best use of these highly skilled individuals.
Well, no, they seem like taxi drivers in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're the first to say, this is going to help us.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not talking about a group of people that want to shirk responsibility. They want to do more work so their time isn't wasted.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's
a perfect analogy, the taxi driver.
Yeah,
that's a really good analogy there. So
that's what I'm here for. I'm in the analogy business.
Really? It's a grade A analyst?
Grade A. Number one, buddy. But the other part of it, you know, you're talking about mental health and getting people into mental health facilities. Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of great places that treat people who are dealing with mental health issues. It's common sense. And again, maybe this is outside of the realm of what a paramedic can do on the scene. But this natural default to put people in the emergency room when they're dealing, you know, can be disruptive with other people and what have you based on what they're suffering through. Take them to the area where they're going to get the help that's needed.
Well, that's the thing, too.
This is a fantastic idea.
They may sit there 4 hours and get agitated and then become even more of a problem. Now, if they're injured, maybe let the paramedics treat them on scene and then take them to a mental facility. You know what I mean? So if the call was that we've got an injured person who's, you know, a threat to himself or something like that, then yeah, let the paramedics take care of it at the scene and then we'll go to a proper facility.
Yeah, and if you do have to, and I heard this in one of your reports earlier, if you do have to go to an emergency room, 911 can facilitate which emergency rooms aren't operating at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big, and I'm not saying drive the person 100 miles away from where they live, but something within the neighborhood, within the catch region, I think that would be understandable for a lot of folk out there.
Yeah, very much. It's all about communication. So hopefully, again, this one's still in the consultation phase. Obviously, legislature is closed
at the moment, but it
sounds like, and I think, you would think there would be pushback from the Ontario Paramedic Association. They've been quietly pushing for it behind the scenes. So it sounds like once the legislature starts sitting again, this could be one of those quickly passed pieces.
Well, in this last story that we were just talking about, you talked about hallway medicine, people on top of people. It seems like the natural segue into the next story.
This is a crazy story, and it's literally people on top of people. It comes from Vaughan, where York Regional Police were called to the scene of a crash near Bathurst and Centre Street. It happened at 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning.
This is a new one, but we got two in custody prepared. sorry, 2120, just confirming, in relation to this MVC, there's two in custody?
That's correct.
10-4, two in custody, four impaired, 752.
Now, you can hear the dispatcher in her voice. She's like, wait a second, what? Because there's one vehicle involved in the crash. A vehicle hit a pole. That's why police were called. And she's like, we've got two people driving drunk. The video we have posted on our Instagram is dash cam footage from the police cruiser. It shows that whole interaction. And it's right. Police charged two people with impaired. Both were in the same car. The guy talking with cops gave the whole story.
She jumped on top of me. I'm in the driver. Nothing, nowhere. Let's go. Okay, let's go.
And then what?
And then she drove off.
With you still in the driver's seat.
Mm.
He claimed he couldn't get out because she was sitting on top of him.
Oh, that old nugget. Old chestnut.
We asked the cops about that.
I can't go anywhere. She's on my lap, officer.
That's what happened.
Awesome.
And so they eventually were stopped by a pole when the car crashed into it. There were several empty beer cans found behind that car. Oh. In the woman's purse, there was an open can of beer that police took out on this video, put on the hood of their cruiser. Apparently, a lot of it had spilled inside the purse. A 31-year-old man from Markham and a 26-year-old woman from Newmarket both been charged. Constable Andy Patton in with York Regional Police says this is pretty rare.
We've seen this in cases before where two people are charged, two drivers are charged with impaired driving. Often what happens, though, is that one person is driving, the collision occurs, they switch, and then someone either moves the vehicle or tries to get away in cases like that. But I think this is the first time we've ever seen a case where both people were occupying the driver's seat, operating the vehicle at the same time, and both impaired.
Now, I did ask him what everybody's thinking.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this question. You woke up this morning.
Yeah.
You had a shower, probably a little bit of a shave. No, you didn't shave today.
No, I did. A
cup of coffee. You drove into work. You got into the office. At any point in your day, did you think, I'm going to have to ask a cop about making whoopee?
No.
No? Okay.
I love saying making whoopee, though. Did. That's what I asked.
Like a 1960s game show.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to be offensive to the police.
In the butt, Bob.
But I did ask that as to what they were doing. And he said when they showed up, whatever they were doing, they were done. They were walking around the outside of the car. So if that's, in fact, why she was sitting on his lap, it could be, it's a potential, it's a possibility, but they couldn't confirm that was exactly it. When we asked how much over the legal limit they were on their breath test, he wouldn't say, only, quote unquote, way over.
I kept waiting for Dave's follow-up question today and I never heard it.
What was that?
Were they driving stick?
There's so many jokes we
hurricane
told.
Hurricane Dorian? Still a hurricane day.
That's a solid segue right there. Yeah, it is. It's not quite the monster it was when it decimated parts of the Bahamas, but Dorian, still a hurricane, and it's expected to come ashore in Atlantic Canada this weekend. That means winds of up to 130 kilometers an hour, waves as high as 15 meters or 49 feet. Now, we'll put that into perspective for you. 49 feet is almost as tall as a five-story building or about the height of seven king-size mattresses if you put them end-to-end and stand them up. That's how tall 49 feet is. In a word, it's pretty big.
It's a lot of mattresses.
That's big waves. Okay. CTV's Todd Battis is in Halifax. He was speaking on News Talk 1010 earlier this afternoon.
Well, normally what happens is we have something of a wall called the North Atlantic Ocean, and normally the waters are quite cold. And,
sure.
You know, hurricanes do not react well to cold water, so by the time they hit that, they peter out pretty quickly. The eye tends to dissolve. We get sort of post-tropical storm, you know, conditions, and those aren't too bad. They can cause some problems, but generally, you can get through those.
Thing is, this one is not slowing down. There's no evidence to suggest that it will diminish any lower than a hurricane. However, it is expected to come ashore at low tide, which could be good news when it comes to damage caused by the storm surge. Halifax, though, is expected to see 100 millimeters of rain over the course of the weekend. Voluntary evacuations are up in many communities just east of Halifax. They're battening down the hatches for sure.
Do your hatches batten down at your beach house?
Yeah, very much so. Actually, my sister lives in Halifax and she...
Is she staying or is she going?
Well, she has no choice. I mean, she lives in the city. It's not like she can really... I guess you could go further inland if you wanted to. But this is what she received at her apartment building, was a weather warning for Hurricane Dorian saying, remove or secure all items from balconies. Make sure your windows are all closed. Have flashlights available. Emergency lighting. Never leave candles unattended, and that they're saying, you know, essentially everything that you just said, surge waves and major weather impacts. And of course, at this point, people are just hashtagging it, you know, East Coast life and stuff like that. But this could get very, very dangerous. And yeah, my place is, you know, pretty much right in the water. So yeah, I definitely had a conversation with my insurance company today.
You did?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I lose my roof.
Yeah. I mean, is your place covered in okay.
Yeah. Short answer is yes.
Okay.
And I'll have family members go down and check on the place.
Because I often wondered this. Do you have to take on additional coverage if you have a beach house in a hurricane situation?
Well, it's interesting. The coverage that I have specifically for my place is it'll cover damage up to a certain dollar amount, but it doesn't cover flooding.
That's interesting.
Yeah, very. So hopefully if I do sustain damage, it's all wind, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And not water.
Yeah.
But it's scary.
It is scary. I mean, it like you say, okay, well, it's not going to be a Category 5 storm. Well, it's not as big as it was when it hit the Bahamas. It's still a category. It's still a hurricane.
And obviously,
a hurricane is going to hit Canada.
I obviously don't want to downgrade people that have lost lives versus, you know, me losing shingles, because that's certainly not what I'm trying to do.
No. I'm curious to find out, because, you know, people have beach houses. They have, you know, they may have been in, you know, North Carolina, where it skirted earlier this week. So I was interested to find out.
Apparently, hurricane's not the only thing we're bringing up from the United States. Chick-fil-A is here.
Yes, and it came with some protesters here in Toronto. If you look at our Instagram feed, reporter Lucas Meyer put up a video from the protest outside the new Chick-fil-A. It was busy. Protesters clashed with customers.
Shame!
That's about as aggressive as it got, though. It was a pretty peaceful protest. It's not the chicken's fault. Don't blame the chicken. Protesters weren't happy that the chain came north of the border because the CEO's belief that marriage should only be between a man and a woman, and the fact that he's reportedly given money to anti-LGBTQ groups. But that is what had protesters angry.
I think that people are allowed to feel a sense of collective outrage, and our messaging to anyone who is out here today to raise their voice has been that this is not about... This is a peaceful way of organizing, but we are organizing because the levels of violence experienced in our communities is extensive. So people yelling, I think that's just fair game.
It is pretty fair game. We talked to Toronto police. They didn't make any arrests at the protest, so it was pretty peaceful. I mean, you can voice your opinion if you want. The line of customers, though, pretty long and continues to be this hour, so... They were still, as a matter of fact, they had to walk over protesters at one point to get inside.
While they were doing their fake death stand-in.
Yeah.
Or lying.
That was kind of interesting to see the protesters sort of like, excuse me.
Gotta get a sandwich. I'm going again. Only have an hour for lunch.
Sandwich.
So Canadian too, pardon me.
Yeah.
Let me ask, is there any concern in our newsroom? Have you had the discussion as to whether or not you report on a story like this because it might give the franchise a ton of attention?
You know what, though? You had to explain what was going on there. And I think that's the newsworthiness of this story. Just to explain what happened, why they were there. Because a lot of people, it happens in a pretty busy area of the city. Why is this group there? What's going on? So,
is it one of those cases, Dave, where noise is news, right? You're making noise, you're going to make the news?
Yeah, I think if people have questions as to what it is, it's you know, our responsibility to report on it.
All right. Dave Bradley continues with his views on the noise and news. In 60 seconds. Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave Bradley is here with his views on the news, in for the Dave McKee. The Dave McKee.
Yeah, this is like the last Friday.
Is this his last one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I didn't want to mention it. It's just, come on.
Yeah, I know. We've been digging on him pretty hard, but this is
ever heard of just taking straight 2 weeks vacation, coming back to work?
Guy.
Yeah,
that would be way too easy.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about something we were talking about.
Yeah, this was something you guys talked about right here on The Rush yesterday. It was surrounding the new ability to show your insurance slip to police on your phone rather than having to dig through your glove compartment and find that pink slip. But the question that was raised, does that give police the green light to go through and look for other things on your phone? Well, News Talk 1010 managed to get answers today. In a word... No, the government is requiring insurers to have some sort of blocking mechanism where you could show the slip on your lock screen and nothing else would come up without a passcode. That's good news, according to our legal expert, Ed Prucci.
The functionality of the digital card has that basically pre-designed. Then I think that's great because it means that individual members of the public don't need to sit here and try to figure out, you know, how can I preserve my privacy while also complying with the requirement to present an insurance card.
Now, if you present something to the police that would further incriminate you, then that's your own fault. There's no protecting the stupid, as Ed Prucci said. It's the same idea as if you reach into your glove compartment to get your paper slip. You open the glove compartment door and out tumbles a handgun, for example.
Hey, when that happens.
Yeah, it's
avoidable.
It is avoidable. Don't keep your handgun in your glove compartment.
Or don't buy a gun.
So obviously, it's the same case. Police have no reason to go into your glove compartment, but if you show them you have a gun in your glove compartment, well, then they're going to go there.
Huh. That's so exactly what I thought the answer was.
Same thing with your phone.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to
knock the paranoia off.
We wanted to confirm it. We wanted to get answers because there was a lot of questions out there last night with regards to that story. So there you go.
We appreciate you guys doing that on our behalf.
We're helping you out.
Because we've got busy days and we don't have time to do all the work you guys do.
I know. We're preparing for this show.
Yeah.
It's true.
Sheesh.
What's going on? Stickers. More stickers.
Yeah. You want to talk about the stickers?
Sure,
why not? Let's talk about the stickers. This is the most talked about stickers known to mankind. And we kind of knew this was coming, but it's official. The fine for gas stations that refuse to put up the mandatory anti-carbon price stickers is lower than the Ford government wanted. But they suggested they weren't going to press for the full $10,000 a day. Anyway, Ontario's Chief Justice set the fine for violating the Sticker Act at $150.
$150.
Yeah. So the legislation called for a range between $500 to $10,000. It's $150.
So it's $150 a day?
Yeah.
Is the Civil Liberties Association still going to even follow up on this?
Yeah, they are. And it's still going through the courts. This is the one that they filed their lawsuit just this week. We had confirmation of that as well. So yeah. That's still going to go ahead.
Doesn't even seem worthwhile now.
I know. At this point, you're like, really? And seeing on social media that a lot of the stickers are getting peeled off by people who are against it. And some of them are just falling off because of the rain.
Bunch of peelers.
Yeah.
The sticker peeler.
What's going on in the 410?
Well, this was a big story dominated this morning, and we got a little bit more information over the course of the afternoon. The province's Special Investigation Unit came out with a statement about what was going on at the 410 and Derry Road in Mississauga. This is the incident that probably knotted your morning commute this morning. The southbound lanes were closed before 5 o'clock this morning, and police were originally called to the Derry Road overpass about a half hour before 5 o'clock for a man who was acting suspiciously on the bridge. SIU spokesperson Monica Udon.
The Peel Regional Police Service dispatched police officers to the scene. Soon after two police officers exited their police cruisers, the man fell from the overpass to the highway below. He landed on a van that was traveling in the southbound lanes. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the van was able to exit the vehicle before it caught on fire.
That's right. The van did catch on fire. The driver wasn't seriously hurt. He was pretty shaken up, as you can imagine. So yeah. He did go to hospital as a precaution. No names have been released at this point. All we know about the man who fell from the bridge is that he's a 27-year-old from Mississauga.
All right. Let's end on a much talked about topic here on Talk Radio.
Yeah. You remember the commercial? Everyone loves
the Belugas. How can Turns I forget out, it if it yeah, won't go away?
Yeah, I know. Maybe that relationship with the belugas is now listed as It's Complicated on Marineland's Facebook. Two of the whales being moved to a Spanish facility that the federal government says is better equipped to look after them.
Do they speak the language?
Hopefully. Marineland says it'll work with other facilities to relocate more of its whales in the future. However, it needs to be said that the tourist attraction does still meet or exceed the highest standards of care for its
whales. How many
whales
do they have left then?
I don't know.
Am I going? Because I know they've got deer there, because that's always the big complaint. Oh, they're mistreating the animals. Really? What kind of animals? Deer. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they got deer.
Why do they even have deer at Marineland?
I haven't been to Marineland for years.
But yeah, but now if the whales are leaving,
yeah,
what's left?
Well, they have sea lions.
Oh.
That was in the commercial too.
All right. Sea lions. Now the whales are gone. They're going to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Or something.
Is there dolphins still? No.
No, you can't keep dolphins.
Yeah, you can't keep dolphins anymore. There's all kinds of federal legislation now to
That's good. I've got nothing personally against Marineland. Yeah. I just think overall the idea of keeping animals for goofy entertainment purpose, like the Toronto Zoo to me does a fantastic and fabulous job. They've got a great facility actually that concentrates on, creating more animals and the reproduction of animals. The facility is fantastic.
Protecting species.
Got a chance to go and see it in the summertime. But Marineland doesn't have that kind of thing going on. that's just an entertainment venue. And I don't think animals are entertainment. I think if you're talking about preserving a species or, you know, keeping an exhibit open for education, that's a different ballgame altogether.
But habitat, not hoops.
Yeah. You should only have, you're going to start writing placards or?
That's a good idea. Yeah. T-shirts.
I'm agreeing with you.
No, it sounds like you're part of a protest group.
Oh, sorry. Just came to my head.
That's good. But yeah, I mean, you look at it and you think those days are gone.
Yeah. So nobody loves the belugas.
It's not that I don't love them. I just think they'd be happy in Madrid.
Yeah, they probably will be happier in Madrid. Can you imagine a vacation?
Wouldn't everybody?
Always happier in Madrid. Dave Bradley, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
We'll talk to you next summer, maybe?
Well, we'll send you to Spain for a couple months. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Dave Bradley with his views on the news.